So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Welcome to your bi-weekly dose of lightsabers, infinity stones, and all things plastic. This is episode 60 of the Toy Isle podcast. I'm your host, Dave Shaw, all the way in Chandler, Arizona, and we are here, as always, with Kevin, all the way in Nashville. What is up, dude?
What is up, Dave? Yes, we are here for our 60th action-packed episode of the Toy Isle podcast. And yes, we're coming to you exclusively on Spotify and iTunes. We are doing no show, all talk, as of right now. And if you've been saying, where are you at? We missed you on YouTube. Hold on. We're getting some things situated. We want to be able to give you the best audio quality. We want to give you the best show because we know a lot of you sit in the car, you enjoy this. And then, by the way, if you are in the car enjoying this, make sure when you stop and get to a safe place, you give us that nice review and those 5 stars. We certainly would appreciate it. It helps us out. But yeah, we want to make sure to bring the soundboard back. And you know, Dave, we had talked about this a little bit off the air, is that we love our community and we love our people that we interact with. And we just want to try to give them the best show possible. Don't you agree?
Yes, I definitely agree. And, I think to that point, you know, it's just about kind of getting back to our roots. You know, we had a good thing going on the podcast only. The streaming was a lot of fun. You know, who knows, we could, you know, go back to that at some point. But, you know, just the perks of the flexibility of, you know, just a podcast only format is just really nice. You know, we both got busy lives, you know, so if we want to be able to fire off a podcast session at, you know, 2 a.m. on a Thursday, you know, we can do that, you know.
Believe me, Uncle Tim wants to come back and make an appearance. He wants to come back to the Toy Isle podcast. And we got a bunch of different, you know, interviews and different little formats and segments that we want to bring out. So I think this is going to be a good thing, man.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be good, you know, just upping the production value too, like you said, you know, bringing the soundboard back. We'll have the JR, you know.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, that'll be back. They'll be making a frequent bi-weekly, you know, appearance.
Will the fart noises be back?
Dude, fart noises, dude. We'll bring it all back.
Great. I mean, we're going to have bidet talk, all the violence, all the bad words, all the nasty stuff, all that stuff's coming back as well. And we're not losing anything. We're only enhancing. So as we continue to evolve and continue to, you know, hit the sweet spot, Dave, there's lots of good things in store for us, man.
All the toy horny.
Yes.
You want? I got roasted on.
Yeah, Instagram. You got in trouble this week, didn't you, man?
I got in trouble, and someone is, you know, they were disappointed in me. You know,
for
what they thought that I am on Instagram, you know, for 3 years or whatever. they're disappointed in my use of the word toy horny. So I offended someone for, you know.
Didn't you use the word boner in a response as well?
Well, yeah, I was being a smart ass, but
of course.
Yeah, I mean, good old Instagram, right? So of course I had to throw on my old troll boots. I haven't had to put those on in a while, but yeah, I had to you know, clap back a little bit. But anyways, it's a moot point. Let's move on here. And dude, I got some really exciting things for show and tell, and I know you do too. So let's get right into it. And I know it's not going to be as fun because, you know, we're no longer, you know, visual, but, you know, we'll still try to, you know, be as descriptive as possible. we won't get, you know, too in the weeds on stuff, but we will talk about our weekly pickup still, obviously. So that being said, do you want to do the honors and go first, do a little round robin?
Well, I might as well, Dave, and I will try to be as descriptive as possible as I talk about the supple leather in my hands as I hold this unique final piece to my Black Panther collection. I can finally say with 100% certainty, I completed the Black Panther line from Hot Toys. As you knew, I started with kind of the Civil War Black Panther. That was my first Black Panther figure I got, which I loved, and I still think is the superior suit. And then I ended up getting Killmonger, I ended up getting T'Chaka, got Shuri, and now I can finally say I officially have the final piece, that being the Black Panther movie edition with the Chadwick Boseman head sculpt, which is really, really cool. Looks really good. But this one comes with these little blacklight LED panels that you can set up. And yes, they do fit in a DTOF, as you can see. And I'm actually currently rewiring my DTOFs to where when I turn all my lights on, that nice little blacklight feature comes on. That way it highlights all the neat, I guess, translucent or holographic paint, whatever it is, that some type of really cool paint that they put on the figure here. And you can kind of, you know, see it kind of like his power up when it turns purple, you know. So looks really, really cool. So I'm very happy I was able to snag that off the old eBay train. We know how dangerous that can be, baby. But yeah, we finally got my final Black Panther piece.
Well, dude, that's huge, man. I know BP is like a, you know, it's a big deal to you.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you said final, I mean, so you have all of the other, you have T'Chaka, and you got everyone. They never made M'Baku, did they?
No, they never did. I would love the Man-Ape. I think that would be really, really cool. The only M'Baku was ever a Marvel Legend figure. He was that Build-A-Figure from that Black Panther wave. But yeah, far as the six-scale ones, those are the only ones they did. They did the Panthers and Shuri. I think they may have had, you know, ideas, you know, to do like one of the Dora Milaje or something. I would love one of those. I think those would be really cool.
Yeah.
You could almost like army build those, you know, kind of like what they did with the Legends, you know, just get multiple head sculpts, sick, you know, to put in there. That'd be sick. But yeah, happy to say that we got the Black Panther pieces and ahead of, you know, the Wakanda Forever Black Panther 2, which I'm really eager to see how that, you know, works out in the MCU. But yeah, happy to add that piece, man.
Yeah, that's nice, man. And
what else you got over there?
Well, I mean, hold on. I want to keep giving you some more credit. I love that you're going to integrate that kind of light up feature with your do you have Alexa or Google? Which one do you use?
I have neither. I actually have a Wise app or whatever that's called. Yeah. Those are just the plugs that I keep on my phone. I don't like any of the things talking back to me, so I don't have any of those Androids in my home.
See, yeah, I'm wanting to do that. Like I'm team Google, so I'll be doing the, you know, I think there's like a hack to change it from Google so I can like, you know, call it Jarvis or something like that and just have like everything turn on. But I think that's cool that you're able to have that light up feature, you know, integrate with the rest of your lights.
Yeah, and I think it's going to look really good, and I'll make sure to post it so you guys can see it in all of its glory. But they look really good standing together, that whole little Black Panther family. So that's a good one. That is a good one. But Dave, I'd be remiss if I made this all about me. I want to hear what you have been up to and what you have in store. Go ahead. All right. There it is.
So we are looking at Wave 3 of the Super 7 Thundercats. This whole launch has been, you know, very, you know, blame it on COVID and or blame it on, you know, just them kind of getting their feet wet with, I don't know, this line maybe. But it's been kind of rough or tough sledding getting these figures out. I've had these on pre-order for well over a year. They're months past when they were supposed to have shipped. This wave was actually supposed to include Chitara, and they fucked her up somehow. So they like changed the wave from four figures to three figures, and then she's coming later. But yeah, Jaga looks absolutely amazing.
And I'm blown away that you said this is wave three already. I can't believe they've already got three waves out.
Well, they don't.
Oh, okay. Forgive me.
they did wave one. Wave two, there is an issue. So wave three came first. Then wave two is going to come, I think, in like a month or two. And then wave four. And then they do not have a wave five announced, but they're like cranking these out as far as reveals go. We just don't really have them in hand yet, you know.
I'll go with that then. That's fine.
And then we have a guy that probably would definitely not exist in 2021. We got Captain Cracker. And, I mean, dude, he's and to be honest, like. I barely remember him. Like I tried actually like rewatching some of the cartoon like this year and last year, and I just couldn't do it. It was too much. You know, like, hey, there's something going on over here. Let's go investigate it. Oh no, Mumra shows up. Like it was like copy and paste. But, you know, what is it?
So, like every episode of Bad Batch?
Oh, wow. Careful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, so I don't even really remember Captain Cracker, but the figure, you know, just the paint, everything about him looks awesome. And then, dude, this guy, he's literally, Slythe, he's literally the size of two of the regular figures. He is an absolute tank. This dude is a total monster.
Absolute unit.
Just like Kevin in Cincinnati this weekend.
Yes. Oh, we'll get to that.
Absolute unit. And I mean, I remember when that I had that figure, that LJN figure back in the day. And like, I felt that figure was very like ahead of its time. And this figure is just beautiful. I can't wait to take it out of the package.
Is it heavy?
It's very heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's beefy, dude. It's that'll definitely be on a lot of people's top tens, I can imagine.
Cool.
Do you got anything else? Or do you want to go back and forth?
Well, yeah, I do actually. It's never a good thing, you know, as you when you start your eBay wish lists and you start drinking, you know, that kind of thing happens.
Like
but
every Tuesday, then.
Yes, as you know, I was able to pick up the Gamerverse Miles Morales, the PS5 version, as well as Spider-Gwen, I think is what it is, from Into the Spider-Verse. And I said, as I'm looking at this Miles, this PS5 Miles, there's someone rather absent from this, and that being the PS4 Spider-Man. I never had that figure. And I was like, you know what?
That's just the Gamerverse.
Yeah, like the one with the big white spider on his chest, which looks awesome. And he comes with so much stuff. So once again, I was able to find a killer hell of a deal on eBay, and I was able to grab that one as well. And I tell you what, that is one of my cooler shelves, I think. I have that Spider-Man with doing the kind of the peace sign to Gwen. Bunny ears behind Gwen. Miles looks good. It's fun. So those Gamerverse and Inner Spider-Verse figures are choice. And very, very happy to have that. So that was my other drunken eBay pickup.
They'll all look really good with that. That Miles Morales 2099.
Oh, yes, baby. You and I. And I think it's going to be interesting to see who gets their shipping notification first. So I think we should have a prize for the person who does not get it first.
It'll be you because I do the payment. I do the
Well, it's all random. Everyone finds out that there isn't. Yeah, that's what we've. I think there's been studies. You would think of everything that goes on at Sideshow. There is no rhyme or reason to it. So you can pay it in full. You can pay it off. You can pay it with a deposit, or you can put it on payment plans, or you cannot order it at all, and you can still get it before someone who pre-ordered it if it happens to be in stock. It makes no sense. So we're going to roll the dice and see who comes home with that nice piece first.
I mean, speaking of that, I did just get I've never got this before, but I got an email from Sideshow today saying that my Shore Trooper arrived early, and I did the payment plan, and I think I had like two more, you know, payments on it, and they're like, do you want to pay now? And you would get it now. I was like, sure. So, I've never seen that email before.
This is what I'm talking about. It said, I got a similar thing. It said, it should be in our warehouse in the next 10 days or so. I'm like, so there's some people already getting theirs, and you have an opportunity to get yours now, and then I've paid mine off, and I don't get mine. So it's incredible. I don't know how it works.
Yeah, so they're preparing mine for shipment. Like they've already
nice, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, as soon as I agreed to it, like 2 days later, they ran my card for the $14, you know, that was left for the shipping, you know. So yeah, okay, that makes sense because
now I'm pissed. I've never understood. Now I'm pissed. Neither do I, because no one understands it. Because I go back to the Captain America debacle, if you remember that. There's still people that have, you know, pre-ordered him day one that still don't have Captain America Endgame. And it's so funny that there's still people that don't have it, but you could go to Sideshow now and get it from there, you know, it's because it's in stock and you can get it, but there's people that pre-order that still don't have it. It's incredible.
Yeah, that is weird. I just always assumed that if you paid in full, you're like first in line.
I mean, that would make the most sense, but I was actually talking to my buddy from ICCC, Justin, and excuse me there. got a pretzel stuck in my throat. Nope. But he had said, are you pre-ordering, you know, X, Y, or Z? And I'm like, no, I'm not pre-ordering anything right now because there's no guarantee or any incentive for me to do so. Yeah. So I will do it when it comes closer to release. They're not getting my money now unless they incentivize me. So give me a reason, Sideshow, to pre-order early. And we've talked about that, whether that be, you know, early shipping, air freight, things like that. Give me a reason. Give me a reason.
Dude, so back to your Gamerverse Spider-Man. I mean, I have thought about doing that a few times, and I bet you as soon as I get my DTOFs nice and situated, you know, now I'm expanding. I'm doubling my DTOF space. I'm going from 3 to 6.
And it's a great bit of real estate, man. And as soon as you start filling them up, you're like, damn, I might as well just go ahead and put 12 in here then. And it's dangerous. Look around me. Look around me, man.
It's a good chunk of real estate, man. And I mean, I do have a few Spideys. You know, I got the 2099. I'll have the miles. I've looked at the Scarlet. I love the Scarlet Spidey.
That is my favorite Spider-Man as well.
I gotta get that one. But the Gamerverse one is, you know, it's been on my watch list for like 6 months, so that's one that I could definitely see purchasing. You know, once I get them kind of set up, and I'm like, okay, like I could just have a whole like two shelves of Spideys now, you know, because I got fucking like 75 Marvel Legends Spideys, you know.
Yeah, I mean, let's just keep that rolling, my man. Yeah. And so I think you'll say, wow, this looks really great with that lighting. And you'll be like, I wonder how well it's going to accentuate all these figures' features. So let's go ahead and add that in there. And wow, he looks awfully lonely. And then it snowballs, and you know how it goes.
And then, yeah, I got the lights, got the fig sets. And then it'll be like, well, yeah, I mean, I gotta have Gamerverse now.
But yeah, definitely got to get the fig set in there. And I actually need to get some new fig sets for my Spidey figures because there were some I was looking at on there. So if you are listening now and you said, wow, how can I boost my display? We all know to go to figsets.com and check them out. And I think they are running a 4 for $3 special, if I recall.
Yeah.
So good stuff there. And if you're wondering, is it really worth it? Well, check out my review on my YouTube channel. And yes, it is worth it.
Such a great YouTube review. I mean, you just need to just quit your day job, just be a reviewer. Everyone send Kevin free shit and he'll review it.
Exactly. You know, join my Patreon if I had that, and you know, we can sit there and just dick around all day. And I would love to be a full-time content creator and not have any real responsibilities, but one day.
Someday. Well, all this talk is making me pretty hungry, and I could really go for some barbecue.
Oh, you got it. There you go. Look at that transition, by the way.
So we are looking at the Target exclusive G.I. Joe classified a barbecue. Gabriel Kelly, and to be honest, poser alert here. I had no idea, what his real name was. I had this figure as a kid. This was the figure that I had as a kid that, like, I would lose all my like ones that I really wanted to play with. And this was like the boring one that was just like always there. He was like the last one that I wanted to play with, but like he was like the
dependable one. Old faithful. Yeah. Old reliable, man.
Yeah. He was old faithful. And I cannot fucking wait to rip this thing open, just play with the accessories.
Now, was it a Target.com or did you find that in stores?
No, this is a Target.com day one pre-order with Breaker. No issues. So, I mean, knock on wood here. But, I mean, our boy Chaz Guru, who's like the best goddamn meme creator.
Yeah, there is no better toy memer out there than Chaz the Guru. And if you're listening, Chaz, you are the freaking man. And keep it up.
Dude, he is the man. I mean, he's super relevant. His functionality with everything is like
I know, like right even before the PulseCon started, he bust out the old Arthur meme. Remember like the Arthur fist meme? And it says, yeah, it's like waiting for those PulseCon exclusives to go live or something like that. I was like, that's so perfect. It's so well done.
Dude, we'll get into it, but the when Hasbro like just randomly dropped that they're rolling out an app. Kind of crazy. And then like I immediately commented, like it was probably like, I don't know, like a minute after the post, I immediately commented, tag Chaz is like, I guess I know what you're up to right now. And then it was like a minute later, he like, you know, made a screen grab and it was like, went to download the app and it was sold out.
Sold out. It's so perfect. And I think, and some of those posts he gets like 600-700 likes. I mean, they do go viral sometimes, which are fantastic. So good for him.
Yeah, they're all great. But to that point, and I brought him up because I think he will probably agree with me on this. You know, the G.I. Joe team, like I think they're figuring it out with the target distribution. I mean, I don't know, you know, maybe it just, they had to work out the kinks, you know, the first two waves really is what there was an issue with. The first two Cobra Island waves were a shit show. I was like fucking heartbroken and very upset on that.
I remember us thinking that no one was going to continue with the G.I. Joe line. Do you remember that? We even talked on this show saying, I think this is the end of the G.I. Joe line. No one wants to keep doing this because this is you'll have these holes in your collection. No one wants to do that.
Dude, people were like, wasn't there like a stabbing at Walmart and or a shooting? Like, or there's,
it's entirely possible.
There was like all this crazy shit going on at Targets, you know, with obviously the employees stealing them and scalping them. But dude, it was just fucking wild, dude. And I think they just got a better, you know, idea with the distribution on it, whether it's like, hey, they just have to have more quantities or what. But the you know, having Hasbro, having that partner shared exclusive, you know, section, you know, being able to also try to get, you know, a Target exclusive or a Walmart exclusive, whatever, on Hasbro's site is also pretty nice. I mean, this stuff did sell out, but it was up for a fair amount of time. So if you missed it, it's kind of like, well, you didn't really want it then, kind of thing.
Yeah, and we've talked about that. The people that really want them have the opportunity to get them. And as I've said before, if you're complaining about it several days afterwards, you didn't want it in the first place. So yeah, you just had FOMO and you're just rushing out there. So the true people that really want them gets them, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, and of course, you know, there's the exceptions. Oh, well, I'm a fucking heart surgeon and I was in surgery and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get on Target because I was doing heart surgery. Well, you're a fucking doctor, so you can pay the $200 scalper fee.
Exactly. Like, see, know, it's the circle of life. We got this.
But no, this figure does look fantastic. I'm very excited about it. Can't wait to open it up. And you know what the Joe team, Emily and Lenny, and I forget the other gentleman's name that was part of that panel on the HasCon. Dude, they fucking brought the thunder, dude. That was fantastic. That got me so excited. And that's what a brand manager and, you know, the designing team, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to make the consumers excited about what's in the future. And, you know, some teams didn't, but the G.I. Joe team fucking nailed it. And I'm very excited what's on the horizon. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you already know we're definitely kind of changing our structure a little bit. You guys don't need to hear like, this is what's coming out this week. This is what's coming out that week. Like, you already know. If you're listening to a toy podcast, you're already kind of in tune with what's coming out. So we're not going to cover so much on that shit. We're going to give you opinions and whatnot and just kind of try to make you laugh. That's basically, you know, where we're going moving forward here.
Yeah, I want our personalities to show out. You know, I think that's the true key here. Because of how X-rated it is, I'm not going to share it. But when you were talking about some teams that were dropping the ball during the Hasbro presentation, what you sent me at Friday, October 22nd at 12:36 was pretty darn fucking comical about a certain panel that you weren't really thrilled with.
I don't even remember.
I'll send it back to you later. Oh, but yeah, hats off to the Joe team.
Yeah, Joe team absolutely killed it. Okay, my last thing. And then do you have anything more, or is that it from you?
That is it from me, okay. But there are some things coming on the way. So of course. We'll share that. Perhaps we'll share that later.
There's always shit coming on the way.
Of course.
Man. I mean, I got
It's as regular as the bowel movements.
Oh boy. Fuck. Better lay off of that bidet talk. Okay.
Hey.
So this, it's not a toy. Not a toy.
Okay.
But
oh, I can see the corner. I remember you showing me this.
Dude, I'm
fucking this is sick
about this. So I took the whole family to my new favorite store. Shout out Terror Traders in I think it's on the Chandler border. So yeah, Chandler, Arizona. Alma School and Warner. Place is fucking just tits. The place is awesome. Owner is awesome. I hope they do really well. I'm not gonna lie. I get a little worried when I hear that there's gonna be a 365 day or year round kind of Halloween horror store. Cause you gotta, how are you gonna handle June and July? You know what I mean? Like, I'll be going in June and July, but are you gonna be selling enough stuff in the kind of off months to float? But I guess I just have to buy more shit from there. Anyways, so I took the whole family there and I had my eyes on this. I bought an autographed fucking John Carpenter.
How sick does that look?
Halloween print. And the print alone is fucking sick.
It's not your traditional, Halloween poster.
It's not. I mean, it's not even the traditional, pumpkin, when you think of Halloween. Yeah, it
reminds me of Halloween 2 a little bit, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking, too. But it's much more just classic skull. Yeah, dude, it's fucking sick. Stoked to have something signed by John Carpenter. Obviously, I would love
to
go to an actual signing and, have the experience of having him sign something in person, and hopefully I'll get to do that one day. He actually just did a signing at LA and it looked it looked awesome. I would do a road trip to LA and get something signed from him.
Is that one of the top gets that you would want as far as celebrity meetups?
Yeah, honestly, and like, I mean, there's some Star Wars actors I still would like. I mean, Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford are big gets. I do have both of their autographs, but
oh, you have a Harrison autograph.
I have a Harrison
that is autograph. Very hard to come by.
But I have a New Hope poster with a lot of signatures on it, and I would like to get that. The Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford signatures that I have is not on that poster.
Wow, so I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I have I got Peter Mayhew on that one. I got Anthony Daniels. I got Kenny Baker, and I got David Prose on that one.
Do you have Carrie on that?
I don't. Oh. I don't have a single Carrie autographed. But I got her memories.
Yeah, absolutely. That's still really cool though.
So I'm super stoked on that. And yeah. All right. So and then that's it from you. Then yeah.
Yes, until our next meeting.
Oh boy. Yep. Okay. Yeah. And I should have a good bounty. I got some interesting stuff coming on eBay, so you'll get a kick out of it.
What was this the drunk scrolling that you screenshot me?
I don't know.
It happens so frequently. Yeah, it happens so frequently. We never know which ones we're talking about.
No, you'll like it. I wouldn't be surprised if you're like, oh, send me the link and you'll buy it too. We can talk about this because it's something that we both did and we both backed something last week, didn't we?
We did. And this is one that was completely, I wouldn't say out of left field, but we weren't predicting this.
I would say fucking left field.
Knowing
it now, it makes sense. Oh, the movie, it's in line.
Let's just say it was a life-size prop replica is not something that we thought that Hasbro would be putting out. That's what I'm getting at.
Got it. Okay. I thought you're getting
Yeah, we're thinking playsets or action figures. Yeah, playsets or action figures, not an actual prop.
Didn't mean to bury the lead here, but yeah, we both backed the Proton pack. And, at the HasCon, they revealed 3 HasLabs. And, we talked about that the day before the HasCon, hey, are they going to, they're obviously going to talk about the Rancor. are they going to talk about another HasLab? And we kind of talked about, you know, my thoughts at least, and how I think that they're really looking at the HasLab as a needle moving, you know, right, financial contributor. And
because they have a track record that has shown that they work and that they are funding and that they are making a killing on all these HasLabs.
Yep. And you know, like, why break it? You know, they only failed once, the Cookie Monster. They're working really well. Poor Cookie Monster. And yeah, I mean, I got some numbers real quick, and we can kind of go back to the Proton Pack. But as of this recording, the Proton Pack is 93% backed. It's a 6,500 backers out of 7,000. It's already almost backed, and it came out like a week and a half after the Rancor, and the Rancor is just it's just
right,
like flatlined at about 4,000 out of 9,000 needed, so at not even 50% yet. And then they revealed the Sky Striker, that's at 4,800 backers. They need 10,000, but the cost is a little bit less. So, interesting things. Proton Pack is almost backed. It's the most expensive. It's from a franchise that Hasbro has that is arguably, like, you know, Ghostbuster fans are very, you know, loud, mm-hmm, you know, and passionate, but there's not nearly as many as, you know, Star Wars or Marvel.
Right, exactly. And a lot of the people that are Ghostbuster fans are kind of, you know, late 70s kids, you know, that grew up with it. It's not like if you were to walk up to your average 5 or 6 year old on the street, most of them probably don't know who the Ghostbusters are yet.
Yep. So, I mean, it's very interesting kind of data when you think about it. And, you know, we're not a fucking, like, a stock podcast or numbers podcast.
Yeah, let's make sure buy the dips on the Hasbro Pulse.
Buy now, you idiots. Going to the moon. Yeah, so, but I did want to point out some things just to prove our point about, you know, what they're kind of, the direction that I think this company is wanting to go to and what to expect moving forward, because all three of these campaigns end, you know, in December. So right before the end of their fiscal quarter and the fiscal year. And if they're to meet just the bare minimum, just fully backed, you know, these are probably all going to get funded and they're going to be exceed, you know, what the minimum is. Right. But I'm just talking about bare minimum. So, Proton Pack, that's 2.8 million for the 7,000 backers. We got 3.1 million for the Rancor and 2.3 million. So that's almost 8.5 million, just boom, right to Hasbro, right before the end of the year.
And they have not even put a dime into production yet. Exactly. I mean, they have a little bit, but you know what I mean.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, we all know, you know, yes, like it's, but. They're a bank at this point, you know, and so that's almost $8.5 million before the end of the year.
Let's not forget about the additional proton wands that no doubt were picked up as well.
Of course, right? So you got the kind of ancillary. I can't even fucking pronounce that word, but just like the extra add-ons, right? You know, you got your little dessert to go along with your T-bone steak. Mm-hmm. You know, your add-ons. So there's going to be a full campaign of Black Series figures that will go perfect with Rancor. They'll probably sell extra shit to go along with the Sky Striker. Obviously the wand, you know, who knows if we get a, you know, I could see a trap coming, you know, in the works, goggles, a PKE meter, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Good call.
But, you know, expect a lot of HasLabs next year is basically what we're getting at here. You know, they might not be three a quarter like this, but there's going to be a lot. And, you know, when you think of Ghostbusters, that's got to be like almost, I don't know if I'm having like a creative like block here, but like, I just can't think of anything else that Ghostbusters could do that would be a HasLab worthy other than like some sort of props. Like, do you do like a slime blower? No, you know,
right, I mean? Right. And the pack is so iconic, and you know that's an essential piece to being a Ghostbuster. If you're going to even create your own little Halloween costume, you know it's relevant for what's going on. I know people were going to Spirit Halloween getting the spirit packs.
Yeah,
you know it's essential to have the pack. But as you and I talked about, what do you do, you know, for the Ghostbuster franchise after that? If you were to make a Plasma Series Firehouse, maybe. I mean, I can see that one, but I don't think it's a $400 piece. Do you make a Plasma Series Ecto-1? I don't see that being a $400 piece either.
Nope.
Like you said, I don't know if they can just keep going to the well of props, because eventually you run out of those as well. So it's an interesting conundrum that they've put themselves in there, but I was pleasantly surprised about this, so who knows what comes out.
I mean, out of all the stuff, like, I mean, I was excited about the Rancor. I'm way more excited about the Proton Pack. Like, I haven't even backed the Rancor, and I probably won't. And
right. I said I needed Seamless Body or Bust, and so I'm not.
Yeah, you were out as soon as they kind
of
displayed.
Yeah, they're like 28 points of articulation and 28 joint seams, because look at this thing. It looks ridiculous, but I love that ingenuity.
I just, for me, I mean, it's more so for like where my collection is going. That's why I'm kind of, you know, what's the Shark Tank? Like, I'm out, you know, just because I'm scaling down on the Black Series figures regardless. That being said, fuck, I mean, a couple Natter days and I'm sure I can just go on that nice little Hasbro app now and just back it.
It's a dangerous thing at your fingertips there, my friend.
I think the tears would have to be very convincing for me to do it. And I just don't think they're going to be nearly as, you know,
kind of Black Series Rancor Keeper is not going to make you push you over the edge.
Nope. I think I would need Jabba. I would need some sort of Jabba throne gate. We even kind of talked about it, like maybe, you know, help me out with how to display that Rancor.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, right. I just don't want to put that Rancor in the top of my DTOF shelf. But like, right. If you can give me something that I can build around, then now we're talking, you know?
Yeah, an atmospheric environmental base, perhaps. I think all the, you know, HasLab pieces come with some type of display base. I know even one of the tiers for the Proton Pack is a display base.
Yeah.
And the Razor Crest has a display base. So I can see an environmental type base, you know, being part of a tier for sure.
Yeah, and it better not be cardboard. Like, I want like an actual diorama type, you know, little piece, you know, but just something. I mean, almost like that Gentle Giant statue that I almost bought at that toy show earlier this year, you know, that had a little bit of a
a sculpted base, essentially. Yep. Something nice here.
That was another thing that I thought was very interesting. Out of those three HasLabs, everyone except the Star Wars team, They showed the whole bag. They showed it all. You know what I mean? Here's our tiers. This is what you need. You know what I mean? And Star Wars, we just got a digital render.
A digital render is all you got.
Nothing about what the tiers are. Just, you know what I mean? Like, I just.
Because Dave, you and I know that they don't even know what they are. They are literally flying by the seat of their pants. Let's be honest, man.
It's got to be that, right? So, like, to me, that tells me that HasLab's not like across the board, like, hey, every brand has to adhere by these rules. It's very like, hey, like, you know, Power Rangers team, you get a HasLab, but like, you do whatever the fuck you want.
Make your campaign essentially. And it's interesting to me. And I wonder, I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second. Is it possible that because of the Star Wars licensing agreements and how much information that they get ahead of time, that they are kind of limited on what they can provide? Or maybe they don't even know like what's in the pipeline for sure, because I don't know. It's hard for me to give them a lot of leeway, but I'm just trying to think here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely, you know, as much shit that as I give the Star Wars team at Hasbro, I do, and most of it's like in jest, but like I do think of that, you know, and absolutely. I think, you know, they have to, you know, be in line with the storyboard group at Lucasfilm. You know, they have to be lockstep with them and like, no, you can't release this figure until this episode, yada, yada, yada. But like that being said, that campaign ends like early December. Book of Boba Fett is coming out after that. So campaign is going to be done and over with. There's nothing that I can think of that the storyboard group needs to happen before they can, you know, tell what they have plans for the tier. So that just, that doesn't make any sense of why not to tell us what the tiers are. Like, hey, we're going to show this thing that happens in this, you know, episode of Bad Batch or whatever. So we can't show it until the it's like, I get that, but like, there's nothing coming out that you would need that to be in line with. So there's no excuse there. I just think it's just a very weird decision and not all the other teams are showing the tiers. I don't think Marvel does. Galactus, right? They have not shown.
Right. But going back to, doing the Sentinel, that, you know, they said they were going to be tiers, but they happened so quickly, they just kind of kept making them up as they went.
Yeah.
The Sail Barge was never had tiers. It says if you get this, you'll get all these things.
Yeah.
So I think the Sentinel is the first one that they did as far as the tier system. They're like, oh, well, I guess this is fun. And then everyone expected it, you know, once the Razor Crest came out, and then they expected it for the for Galactus as well. So I think that they maybe kind of worked themselves into the tier system. I don't know if it was always part of the plan, but yeah, it's kind of like, why not at this point? I mean, it's incentive and it drives sales.
And when you think of Kickstarter, I mean, that's synonymous with fucking tiers. Like every Kickstarter does a tier system. Like every Kickstarter that I've ever done, it's always like, hey, if you guys buy more shit, I'm going to give you more shit. You know, I mean, that's kind of like how a Kickstarter campaign works, you know, but, I digress here. Like it's just odd that the G.I. Joe team, the Ghostbuster team showed the whole enchilada, and then the Hasbro team just here's a CAD drawing, you know, blah blah blah.
Right. I wonder if they're like literally the presentation's at 9 and at 8 o'clock they're like, hey, do you got that thing yet? Oh shit. And they have to hurry up and try to get it done. I can totally see the mad scramble. Hey, did you get it done? Oh, I didn't get to render it properly. Just give us the black and white one. Let's go.
Oh my god.
It's entirely possible.
Okay, so last kind of talking point on the HasLab stuff, and then we'll move on to the kind of some other stuff. But you know, you brought up the prop, and I never even thought about that, but yeah, this is the first HasLab that's a prop. Everything's been a fucking essentially a toy. So you know, now the prop game is in play. Like, is there anything off the top of your head, like other brands that you would want to see do a HasLab but like a fucking prop? Like obviously we have lightsabers, you know what right, I mean, the right. helmet. So it's like, it's kind of like tough to think of, you know, what you know, maybe could be on deck like with Star Wars, but it is interesting now that like kind of props are they're in play now.
Yeah, so and I don't think ever and there's always they're not really called props. What are they called? They're called role playing. Yeah, the role playing line. And I'm just trying to think off the top of my head what is something I would want, because not everything's gonna have to be, you know, a $400 type of prop. You know, the FX sabers are what, like $250, I think, right now. The helmets are like $150. Some of the Marvel pieces are right around that as well. I'm just thinking of some of the other franchises of things that I would want, and I don't know. You know, to be honest,
I mean, you could. I just kind of was thinking of it now, like a full-on, full-size Salacious Crumb, like kind of like what Regal Robot does.
Oh, hell yeah. If they're going to start doing Regal Robot stuff, but actually affordable, I would be all over that. Now that you mention it, I would love a life-size prop Salacious Crumb. I would be all over that.
That would be fucking sick. Or a Watto.
Oh, yeah. That'd be sick. That'd be sick.
I mean, and obviously, like, I think this is like a whole nother, generation of HasLab. This is very Regal Robot shit, but like, yeah, I mean, if they could somehow like do a like a BB-8, you know, or like a, you know, R2-D2 would be obviously something that, you know, people would probably buy it if they're like, hey, yeah, we're going to do a HasLab. It's a $2,000 R2-D2.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But it's like, oh, it's pretty fucking legit, though, you know?
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, here, let me, last thing I'll say about that is, where do you think the tap out point would be for people to do a HasLab? I know you mentioned, you know, the $500 mark for the sail barge and Galactus and things like that. And then you just mentioned a $2,000 R2. What is the tap out point?
I mean, I don't think it's necessarily like, I was just going off of monetary, like, because if they did a $2,000 R2, like, you know, obviously you can't have 10,000 backers needed for something like that, but a smaller backer needed. Yeah, dude, there are definitely people that would fucking, that just aren't savvy enough to, you know, join the builder, the Droid Depot builders group and build their own droid.
I'm one of those. I'm one of those people.
They want a droid. Like, I think there's definitely a market for something like that. So I don't think it's like a tap out in like the sense like just straight dollar, but like straight dollar for said, you know, 32-inch Marvel Legend type figure. Like I can't think of too many other bigger scaled Sentinel Galactus.
Yeah, Giant like Man, Apocalypse, you know, about that be a, that be
Fin Fang Foom, you know, but like, yeah, you can't charge $800 or $600 or something like that.
Right. It's just not intricate enough.
Yeah. You got to be in that $300 to $400 range, you know, for something like that. So I think that's the number for like a toy like that though. Okay. Well, shit, that's good, man. Yeah, the HasLab stuff, dude, I love it. We all love it here. You know, Kevin and I talk about HasLab probably every episode. I just want to appreciate
all your numbers that you run, by the way. The number crunching. Appreciate you being the little calculator, man.
They in my fantasy football league, they call me Davey Stats, you know? So
okay, Davey Stats.
There we go.
Stats junkie.
So another kind of thing, they just mysteriously dropped an app. Like, I didn't even, like, I don't think that was, like, announced or anything, right? Like, I wasn't even aware that they're developing that. And it's beautiful. So what's your thoughts on the app so far? I used it to back the Proton Pack. It was so easy.
I'll be honest, I have not downloaded it because I'm real selective on what apps I put on my phone. So I can't give you a full user experience on what it's like, but I am a fan of anything that makes the checkout process easier. I wish there were more companies, just maybe because I don't buy enough stuff from Hasbro, you know?
Sure.
But if, say, for example, Sideshow were to make an app, that would make things so much easier, because when you're browsing, you know, on your phone, that it's so much easier just to swipe and see what you need, and then just the one-click checkout. I mean, that's so easy. That's so cool. So I can't speak to the Hasbro version, but I love an app that is curtailed and made just for me.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, dude, if Sideshow did something like that, that'd be fucking sick. And I'm absolutely with you on that. Just having it, you know, even for a person like myself that's in front of a computer, like, literally all day, I do like to use my phone for stuff like that. And just kind of, you know, doing an inventory check on, you know, what's in the queue, what's coming in the pipe as far as your orders go. And I will say that before the app, just Hasbro Pulse's kind of like looking in like what you have in order is painful. I think that's super clunky. There's like no pictures. You got to like click on just like a generic order to like, and then once that goes in, that, you know, once you get into that order, then you can see what it is that was actually on that order, opposed to like just saying what it was. So, I mean, I had issues just with the desktop, but the app is very user friendly. I was able to get every single G.I. Joe drop from that HasCon via the app, no problems. I got everything. There's some great stuff. That Spirit, revealed the bats. There's the Joe stuff is just,
yeah, like, the bats look so incredible. Those were so good.
Yeah, so I mean, we can move on from that. The one thing that I wanted to call out that I did enjoy from the Marvel team is, you know, VHS Order 66 junkie here. Dude, how cool are those fucking VHS style packaging on Marvel Legends?
And you know, we talked about this, I think maybe like right when one of our first episodes we ever talked about is that, you know, Hasbro was talking about doing away with their, you know, plastic packaging. And we're like, what in the world? You know, that'll be terrible. What a bunch of idiots. And then I see these VHS tapes that they come out with that, you know, hit me right in the nostalgia feels.
Yep.
And I'm like, damn it, they did it. They did it. And not only does it look incredible, but the figure and the paint apps that they're putting inside them are even better. And I love it that they're going with the animated series. And man, that's super cool. Well done. Once again, hats off, Marvel team.
Yep. It's funny. Anthony with fig sets, you know, he immediately texted me and he's like, and he doesn't collect Marvel Legends, but he's like a diehard X-Men guy. He has literally every single issue of X-Men and comics like graded, like he's like a complete nut with X-Men comics, and he was like, I'm fucking all in on those, like keep me posted. And you know, it just looks exactly like, you know, the VHS tapes from the cartoon series. So super cool. Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on the figure selection though? Obviously we knew we'd get a Wolverine, of course. Jubilee, fine, Sinister, but right? But Mr. Sinister, I feel like is a little bit of a miss, mainly because he was kind of newish. He's only like a year old. I feel like they could have gone with a different, but maybe if you're going with that stylized, you know, animated look, you know, with the cell shading, I guess that's a good one.
I had no gripes with that, and the fact that, you know, they kind of showed their hand a little bit, because them showing him, you know if you're like a super comic nerd or you know, the animated cartoon nerd, you know, we're like guaranteed to get like a ton of other figures. So this will be a very long running line. I could see this almost kind of being, you know, the new retro carded.
Yeah. And I would be all for it, because you can display these so much better. Just stack them on the sides. You know, it looks awesome. And then if you want to
look like VHS tapes.
Yeah. And I know you're all for that. Didn't the Wolverine come with the picture from the meme?
Yeah. Okay, good.
See, that's once again showing how on the nose they are with, you know, being in tune with what people want.
And you know they took a cue out of, was it the Mondo, right?
Mondo one. Yep.
Dude, that shit is so sick. Yeah, and that's a great figure. Everyone will be jumping on that one. Okay, well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much all I wanted to wrap about as far as HasCon. Was there anything that we kind of skipped over that you want to, you know, talk about with that, or should we move on over to Mr. Fett?
Yeah, I think we're good on HasLab. Not Has. You keep making me say that. I think we're good on Hasbro.
Weezer, did you get enough Weezer love?
I thank you for that special link that you did send me. That, you know, as you had said, been passed around, you know, as much as, you know, an ex-girlfriend or so.
We didn't even talk about that. That was like the thing after HasCon. That was the pulse,
right?
The
and
pulse,
those like premium. That is true. Movie. We do need to talk about that, because that was better than the actual conference.
Dude, it was so better. Yeah. So we're talking about the thing that they did on 10/27.
Yeah.
And that is relevant because that's their
That's where they did the Ghostbusters reveal.
Yep. And Mr. Stevie Evans, who's just an absolute gem. That dude is such a national treasure. I mean, really miss him on the Star Wars team. But he's did this amazing tour of Hasbro. Like, he showed like all the offices. I really enjoyed that. And then, you know, each brand showed more shit like 5 days after the HasCon. So I thought that was very cool. But yeah, that was the link we were talking about. But yeah, dude, Weezer was at the HasCon, and that was cool, man. It's always good seeing Rivers you know, sing songs from back in the day, and you know, get a little teary. You know, I cry a little bit every time I hear a little Weezer song. You know, gets me in the feels, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're getting hit in the feels, because I got hit in the feels myself with something that dropped this week, Dave, that we need to talk about. That is when we got to see a live action shot of our own Lady of the Toy Isle podcast, Fennec Shand, because she was shown during that trailer for the Book of Boba Fett, which is going to be coming out, which we got a lot to talk about that, not just with the show, but we have officially the Fennec Shand action figure officially revealed with Book of Boba Fett marketing and boxing, because that, I think it's the latest wave that the Black series is putting out. And man, that wave is fire. It's got Ponda Bubba, it's got Dr. Evazan, it's got Fennec, it's got I think Echo is that in that one. Maybe not Echo on that one.
Galen Erso.
Yeah, it's just a solid wave. Yeah. But I mean, let's get into this, man. The Book of Boba Fett is officially being labeled on the Fennec character, which I also think why we haven't seen the Fennec from Hot Toys yet, because I think she's going to be labeled under Book of Boba Fett. So,
good point.
What are your thoughts initially of the trailer? And I mean, are you excited for this show? Do you think it's going to be Mandalorian light, or what are your thoughts?
No, I hope it's more gritty. You know, if you could even say that, you want it something to be more grittier than Mandalorian. But, you know, I definitely want them to try to push the rating a little bit. And that doesn't mean like, oh, I want more blood, but just the grittiness. And I definitely think, you know, a character like Boba Fett and Fennec Shand, they can absolutely do that, especially where the direction is kind of they showed off a little bit in the trailer, obviously. And I mean, my one wish list I hope that we get out of this series is I want, obviously, Jabba the Hutt's dead, but I want more Hutt like presence. I mean, there's a fucking
right.
There's a whole galaxy named after them. There's Hutt right. Space. You know what I mean? So it's like I want. Is there gonna be fallout? Is there, you know? Is there gonna be, you know, cousin, you know, blah 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 Hutt?
Well, people are wanting to see Rota the Hutt, which is like the little baby, and they're yeah. like, oh, that way that can be the baby Grogu, blah 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 blah. If you're a member, I think it's Gordula the Hutt. It's from the old books where it's the Hutt that's got the braided beard. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely.
I think it's Gordula the Hutt. Anyway, I would love to kind of see another live action Hutt, and not just a CGI one. You know, I want to see a big puppet Hutt, and I think that would be yep. really, really cool.
Yeah, you just can't do CGI. You have to kind of, you know, if it was anything else, if it wasn't Star Wars and you were doing something like that, sure, CGI it, whatever. But like, you have to, you know, kind of stay true to the source material here, and you got to go shove three guys into this big puppet suit and, you know, let's get it going. But yeah, I'm really excited just to see the fallout of, you know, all of the generals and the kind of leaders that were all under, you know, Jabba the Hutt. So it's going to be good, man. Yeah. And dude, Fennec, oh, what a babe, dude. I mean, that.
And did you all go ahead? I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
That Black Series figure of hers though, it looks amazing.
Yeah, even down to the hair, you know, the yeah. threads in her hair. I mean, it looks so good. And I don't know who's going to be keeping the helmet on, is all I wonder. Is like, you go ahead and toss that in a bin somewhere. She does not need to be wearing that helmet on your display. But one other thing I thought was interesting about the show is that if you look closely, and even some of the merchandising have already shown this, Boba's getting an upgraded outfit again, because naturally you can't have a new show without a new figure to come out. But it looks like they are updating the armor again for this show. So is Boba Fett going to be the new Iron Man of Star Wars?
Oh my God, good call. Yeah, no, I think you're right. And it's funny, I follow a lot of you know, costuming groups on Insta Media and stuff, like Insta Media, Instagram and whatnot. And they're all having like a field day, like good and bad, because a lot of these guys started building kits, you know, to get ready for Celebration next year based off of, you know, where we last saw Boba Fett. And now he's got like a completely new kit, you know. Well, to the naked eye, it's not new, but like when you really start picking it apart, like his collar is different. Obviously the paint, you know, he's kind of scuffed up that brand new painted armor for sure. So
yeah, and he's gotten the dress is gone essentially, and he's got his pants yeah. back, which will be good, so he can do some more sweet athletic moves and such. But I think this is going to be a hit, man. I really do. I think December 29th is when they said it was going to air. So I mean, we're just, you know, 45 days away or so from a brand new Star Wars show, which I think is going to be awesome. And obviously that means a lot of great toys and things are going to follow as well.
And I mean, I'm so excited about that drop date too. I mean, like, Christmas to me is always kind of Christmas is just better when there's Star Wars.
There is, man. There is. I mean, especially once they kind of rebooted, you know, say what you want about the sequels, and I hate them. But there was something special about going, you know, to the movie theater and watching a Star Wars movie on Christmas, because that's something that they started, you know, with the Lucasfilm Star Wars. You know, it was never like that before. But then they started doing all these Disney Star Wars releases on December. And I'm like, okay, I dig this. I dig this.
Yeah, so I hope they kind of continue that. I mean, they got enough shit, you know, in the pipe as far as you know, their slate next year. So, you know, I'm sure for the next, you know, couple of years we'll have, you know, some debut show or a finale of a show or movie, you know, around the holidays. But okay, we got some exciting stuff. So I know we said we weren't going to cover, you know, just like straight toy news so much, but I'm very excited about this. What the Super 7 is doing, the Joe animated Ultimate line. We got the Wave 1 on pre-order. It's coming out. Fuck, who knows when that's coming out, but they just revealed today Wave 2. And it's pretty sweet, man. We got Baroness, we got Destro, we got Flint, and we got Lady J. And man, out of all of this stuff, the Lady J head sculpt looks absolutely amazing. The accessories on par, all amazing. These are just great. That being said, I don't know if I'm going to get these because I want to get the first wave first. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to do what I did with Thundercats, even though I don't regret doing that, but I don't want to have fucking four waves of figures on pre-order where I haven't even gotten the first one yet. So let me get one in hand and then we'll talk. So I'm going to sit.
Right. And I think I've said that is one of my biggest beefs with them. And I get it. You know, you got to do what you got to do, but that is a little bit disheartening and it's hard for me to continue to throw pieces out there for that.
Yeah. And I mean, who knows how deep this is going to go? I'm very committed to the classified series. That's something that I'm
especially because you just got your barbecue.
I just got my barbecue. Got my barbecue sandwich, baby. Yeah, I'm complete on it. I mean, I was even able to get the Zartan Hascon exclusive. Like, so I literally have every single fucking G.I. Joe classified. So I'm all in on that. But you know, this is almost like the Simpsons debacle, right? Like, do I really want to go all in on a $55 a pop figure, you know, while I have almost its counterpart in the G.I. Joe classified series? So I don't know, I'm doing some kind of soul searching on that, but I might revisit that once Wave 1 shows up. If Wave 1 shows up and it blows my fucking dick off, like, okay, we'll make some room in the toy room.
Right.
To accommodate, you know, so Super 7 can play nice with the classified lines. But exciting stuff nonetheless. I know you're not a Joe at all, but did you even see these? You got any input on these?
Maybe I'm a poser, like I said, but I haven't been following the Super 7 Joe line, mainly because it's something I will never have.
Yeah.
And I just live vicariously through you, man. As long as you're excited and you're hype, I'm hype.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like me with a lot of the Marvel hot toys that you got. Like I get off on like you like buying shit. I'm like, okay, now I'm good. I don't need to buy that because Kevin bought it.
Right. I'm glad that we have this relationship to where if there's an itch that needs to be scratched, we let the other person scratch it for us. So that's great, man. Give and take.
Yeah, even though we live like 2,000 miles from each other, it's just like, you know, it's like we have two collections, you know?
Right. I mean? And, you know, my stuff's your stuff, man. And yeah, I'm glad that you're building me a brand new display, you know, at your place. And I'm constantly tweaking your displays over here, man.
You're very welcome. Yeah. Shit. You even might get an arcade one-up in your toy room over here in Chandler. Did you see the Terminator 2 fucking arcade?
No. Is that a real thing?
You remember the game, right?
Oh, like, yeah, but I didn't know 1UP was going to do that.
Yep. Yeah, they just
revealed it.
I don't know if they revealed it at a, like a con or something, but it's like the big fucking like little the little Uzi machine gun.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember being a kid and like.
Do you know how many quarters I've wasted on that only to get past like maybe the second level?
Dude, that game was the shit, man. I just remember that gun shook the shit out of you. It was just like.
Yeah, I think my local Dave and Buster still has it.
Dude, that's vintage, bro.
I know. It's very cool. Very cool.
But yeah, dude, arcade one up. And I'm like, fuck, man. I got to find room for that. Dude, they make some good stuff, but like, it's the same thing. It's like, where do you start, dude? Like, if you get one of those fucking arcade one ups, you're going to get like six of them. Because
right. And it's literally going to be Dave and Buster's. Yeah. And that's not a great situation.
Dave and Kevin.
Hey, you want to go to DK's? Yeah, check it out, man. Oh, man, they just got the new Terminator game. Hey, man, can I play?
Dude, well, yeah, DK, and we'll do the Discovery Zone logo. But
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Where you can be a kid and be on your own.
Oh, my God. Shit, take a dump in the ball pit at the DK zone.
There's so many bacteria just floating out there, but I digress.
Dude, I that's so crazy. When you dropped the DK zone, I was like, or the Discovery Zone, I was like, I thought that was just like a regional thing. I had no idea,
brother.
It was Midwest too.
Did you see somebody either on the Instagram or on the chat last time saying that someone's finger got ripped? Oh, that's what it was. Is I was driving to do my live session at Replay Toys, and I think it was Mighty Mouse of all people. It's like, yeah, someone had their finger ripped off in one of the tubes. It got stuck, and they kind of it got ripped off. I'm like, there was a fucking finger floating in your tube. And he's like, yeah, man. They had to like close it down and go up there and get the dude's finger and like clear all this blood and shit. I'm like, okay. I was like, wow, I never had that. You know, I got some pipe burns, but I never lost an appendage.
Jesus. It reminds me of what was that like theme park in Jersey, like Action Park? And it was just like, just full of like people dying and like,
it's like a Goosebumps horror town type of thing.
Yeah, totally. All right, man. Well, do you want to get into this Toys Battalion?
And
we'll do the wreck of the week.
Yeah, man. I have to share this just because it's the literal WTF moment of the week. So we've talked about this for little.
Is this a stinker of the week candidate? Is that
what you're talking about? Hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
This is the direction. All right.
So this will be our stinker of the week. There's obviously those third-party licenses, which I think Underground King. That sounds so cool, right?
So fucking cool.
That's the other thing, is I did get my Galaxy Warlord come in. I don't know if you saw that.
That's
Ronin,
yeah.
Yeah, I did have that too. I forgot to mention that. But either way.
Me looking at the Del Taco menu at 2 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah.
But Underground King was released, and all I can say is, what the fuck happened? And I gave you this link. If you click on this, did you click this link?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
so this is Kingpin from the Spider-Man universe.
No,
okay. So if you look at this, this is a sixth scale Kingpin. And I feel like I'm not the greatest Spider-Man guru of all time, but you know, I've watched the show. I got the comics, you know, I've seen it. Kingpin is not 12 fucking feet tall. If you look at this thing to scale, it looks great. It looks great. But who decided that this needs to be scaled? They have this picture on here where it's got in-game Cap, comes up to his waist. Thanos comes up to his shoulder. The Hulkbuster comes up to his neck. Kingpin towers over the Hulkbuster. And there's another picture where it shows like Spider-Man comes up literally below his belt. This dude couldn't even suck him off. He's that small. And so, but Toy Battalion, the Underground King, is extremely out of scale. And it blows my mind that someone said, okay, this looks good to me. What the hell happened?
It's like taking a fucking, you know, like the one of the Deadpool Marvel Legends from the 12-inch line and just putting it in with the 6-inch, you know, regular figures and being like, yeah, here we go. It's to scale.
I mean, it literally looks like a Marvel Legend is standing next to a six-scale figure. It makes zero sense that they're like, oh, this looks great to me. It does look good. I mean, I'm not going to lie, but it is not to scale. It's like a quarter-scale figure. It literally is a quarter-scale figure. So that is my stinker of the week, because I would never add that to my Spider-Man display, mainly because it's bigger than Jabba the fucking Hutt. And I'm like, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, this scale is absolutely fucking whack. All right, so we got our last kind of little tidbit here. We're just going to do our recs of the week. So Kevin, why don't you kick it off, man? What's your recommendation of the week for our listeners?
So it's funny, I think the last time I didn't do a toy either, and I'm not doing a toy this time because I guess I'm a fat fuck and I just love a lot of food. But can I give a recommendation to the new Wendy's fries? Have you had these yet or seen these yet?
They're new.
Yes, they are now trying to mimic McDonald's, thin and crispy, and damn it, they are incredible. I can give you a 11 out of 10, 6 out of 5 stars. They are solid.
Okay. So, there shouldn't be any endorsements here for Wendy's, first of all. Because that's like twice this month, right? Didn't you talk about their fucking salad bar or something?
I just realized that. Yeah, we talked about the breadsticks. Oh, damn. What is happening here?
But I will say, dude, I am a huge advocate for their breakfast. Dude, their breakfast is fucking on point.
Okay, so I've never had their breakfast, but I saw Reggie Bush is now doing commercials for it, so it's got to be good, right?
Yeah, get that McEgg money there, Reggie. Okay, all right. So, yeah, I will definitely be checking that out. I refuse to eat McDonald's. I just can't do it anymore. But I will definitely check out this.
Real quick, because you mentioned the breakfast, what should I get there if I'm going to go?
So I just get an egg, sausage, cheese, biscuit sandwich.
Okay. Okay.
Dude, and it's like they literally will like make the egg. It's great. Okay, so my rec of the week, not a toy either. And we said they didn't have to be.
Right, these are just our recommendations.
And dude, so this is the podcast I've been obsessed with lately. It's the History of Horror podcast by Eli Roth.
That sounds good.
Dude, it is fucking incredible. So it's basically, they're all interviews. And some are led by Eli Roth. Some are led by this other guy that does interviews. He's like a showrunner like with Eli Roth. And he asks really good questions. But they interview just heavy hitters in the horror community. I mean, the Stephen Kings, the Tarantinos, the Tom Savinis, Ari Aster, Rob Zombie. I'm listening to one right now with Mike Flanagan, who's just did Midnight Mass, you know, House on Haunted Hill House. And they're just amazing. It's all deep dive stuff. He kind of goes into, you know, each person that he's interviewing, he'll kind of start from scratch, what got you in horror, blah, blah, blah. But I'm obsessed, and there's like a pretty good backlog of them too. So if you haven't already, you know, listened to it and you want to check it out, there's a lot of really good episodes. So if you want to talk about specific episodes, dude, I can listen to Tom Savini talk like all day. That guy is just amazing. So that's a really good one.
Very interesting you said that, because I literally was listening to Rob Zombie talking on Joe Rogan, I guess, a couple years ago.
Him too.
I listened to some of the old Joe Rogan pieces, and Rob Zombie was on there, and the dude's just fascinating.
It's so fascinating, and yeah, he's another guy I could just listen to for hours. I actually just watched the Halloween, you know, 1 and 2 from him with the director's commentary.
Oh, I've never heard that. I bet it is good.
It's good, and he just talks over the entire movie.
See, I need to check that out. Was that part of the DVD or Blu-ray release?
Yeah, it's I don't know which ones will have that, but I have the Shout Factory like box set, and it had that on there. So I don't know if you can just like buy it loose, and it might have that on in the bonus, maybe not, but yeah, dude, it's an amazing podcast, and it's just really cool to get like deep dive info on how these, you know, directors and just people in the horror kind of circuit, like how they started and whatnot. It's fabulous stuff. So that's our recs of the week. So Kevin's going to hit you with some French fries, and I'm going to hit you with a podcast. So
yeah. So if you want, just go ahead and put that podcast on and grab some French fries on the drive-thru while you're listening.
All right, well, let's get out of here. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. We're still going to be doing the bi-weekly episodes will be coming out, you know, obviously anywhere you guys are streaming this, the Spotify, the iTunes, whatnot. Really appreciate the reviews that you guys have been leaving us. And yeah, just thanks for listening. And we'll talk to everyone in 2 weeks. So thanks again.
Peace out.
Later.